We have officially started our camp days, where we take the five promises we make when we join a United Methodist Church: presence, prayers, gifts, service, and witness. And we're going to match them up with the five languages of love put out there by Dr. Gary Chapman, starting with quality time, and we're matching it with presence. And today we will use the scripture from Hebrews, which is near the end of the Bible, chapter 11, which is known as the faith chapter, as it tells the story of many of our faithful individuals. Today we'll be taking from verses 1 through 3, and then 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And then verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Whew. We're talking about presence. Interesting, if you remember from our last series, our very last homework assignment last week was to be present wherever you go, to be aware of your surroundings. I hope that you participated in that activity. Perhaps you noticed foods were a little sweeter or saltier. Perhaps you noticed sounds were a little louder and clearer. Perhaps you were more aware of even the kindness of a human touch. I encourage you to be present, because the world will do everything to distract you. People are hired to completely advertise you out of where you are, trying to convince you you need things, that you need them now. And God is the opposite. See, the world wants to use you. The world wants your money. The world wants your energy, and won't necessarily give you anything back for it. But God wants to love you. God wants to meet you wherever you are. And sometimes it's nice if we meet God where God is. Coming to church. I know that there's mornings your bed is so cozy. I know there's days the coffee tastes just a little better. And would it be really bad if you just stayed there enjoying an extra cup? And yet you still come, because you know there's something about coming together. Individual worship, important, absolutely. And there are days it's okay to take a break. Maybe that's where you need to spend time with God. I encourage you to read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 sometime this week. A reminder that there's a time and a season for everything. There is a time to laugh and a time to mourn. A time to work and a time to play. And sometimes we just need a mental break. But only God and you really know where you are. And being in worship, how important that is. To you, to your relationship, but also to others. There are people who are sad when they don't see your face here on Sunday morning. There are people who are counting on asking you something, or who are just lifted by seeing you here. They just were curious and wondering if you were okay. That's community. We are supposed to be present with one another. This was so important to God that even in the beginning of religion, of the Jewish faith, they were encouraged to gather for three big festivals, even though that could take a couple days of journeying. But it's important to come together, to set that time aside. There's nothing like just being in the same room together. It doesn't have to be for a big, important reason. It's just the importance of being there. Presence matters. And if you're not really feeling God's presence lately, are you inviting God to where you're going? Can God meet you there? Absolutely. But if you continue to shush God, push God away, you're building a block between the two of you. And God loves you. Still through it all. We have those moments of stutter in our faith. We have those moments where we're not quite sure what God is saying. The story of Abraham. Can you imagine how crazy that sounded? Oh, I love Sarah. I'm sorry, I'm going to have a kid at what age? God, you are cray cray. And yet, here comes Isaac. Sarah laughed at the news. Has God told you moments in your life? Maybe you had prayed and prayed for something and just finally gave up one day. Maybe it was for a love of your life. Maybe it was a job of a lifetime. Maybe it was finding the right church. Maybe it was about moving. And then when God finally showed up, you're like, God, I have moved on. And God's like, but the timing's perfect now. Yeah. It's not always on our timing. And some of those prayers you prayed, if you look back to you go, oh God, I'm glad we missed that one. That wouldn't have been what I expected. That's being in presence. Think of conversations you have with friends and family when you gather around the table, maybe around one of the holidays, a big celebration, and the stories from the past come up. Maybe it was a disastrous meal, and yet you laugh about it now. It's part of your heritage. It's part of your culture. Perhaps there was a recipe someone tried that was so awful, and now every season you have to have it. And the goal isn't to make it good. Maybe it just tells a part of your story. If I said cookie salad to any of you, does that make sense? See, isn't it funny? Like, you grow up somewhere and you're like, everybody has cookie salad. Up north, we had what was called cookie salad. And if it wasn't at a potluck, how absolutely heartbreaking was that? Well, if you ever watch the Food Network, her name's Molly Yeh. She lives where I grew up. Her husband was my elementary musical teacher's son. I saw him in her belly. And so when I was flipping through the channels and I saw the bridge of East Grand Forks to Grand Forks, North Dakota, I could have cried. She's actually cooking on a farm where there's like 9,000 people. My people! And she was hosting the baking championship, and she said everyone's gonna make their best cookie salad. And I watched these chefs who are renowned, like we're talking like a fine New York pastry chef, going, cookie salad? And I'm like, yes! But that's part of being present, knowing the culture. That's where memories are made. And when we look at this slideshow, I hope there's holy moments. I hope that there's people you see and who have moved on to different churches because we're called to different places. That's part of Abraham's faith story. I need you to go from here to the promised land. And I will bless you with multitudes of generations, more heirs than you could ever count. And Abraham is sitting there, and Sarah with no children. And God delivered on the promise. And they moved forward in faith. There's something really comforting about home. There's something really comforting. Seeing that East Grand Forks sign, I cried. But that's not part of my journey right now. It's not part of my story currently. Is it about my past? Absolutely. I can tell you, don't go in the summer, like near the end of it, the sugar beets, which some of you are like, sugar beets? Yes, I know most of you get your sugar from sugar cane. I grew up around sugar beet factory. The smell of burnt sugar is awful. Awful. Kind of like if you drive down Highway 25 near Greenwood and it's that dog meat packing. That smell. But see, that's because I was present. That's because that's part of where I was. But that's not where I am. Is that part of my story? Absolutely. But I couldn't stay there and grow. Some of you will leave Emmanuel and that will be sad. But if God's calling you to a new ministry, we celebrate that with you. So when you see some of these faces who have moved on to different parts of their story, remember that they're part of Emmanuel still. They have given their hearts, they have grown in their faith, and they're carrying that into future ministry. And we pray for that. Some of those faces, maybe they need an invitation to come on back home, that we miss them. I hope some of the slideshow will make you laugh, because you remember exactly what was happening in that story. I hope some will just touch your heart, because it was a holy moment in your life. Maybe you were in a different place. Maybe it was just a moment God and you shared. But that's the importance of presence. You can't recreate it. It's what's happening now. And we hope it happens together. Well, isn't that an awesome church to go to? Those are your memories. I hope that there were some tears because of just the beauty and that moment. I hope that there was laughter. I know I enjoyed quite a few of those. And I'm going to tell you, Andrew's probably a better sport than I am. I saw more than two pies in his face. But that's church. It's being present. And part of what was awesome about that is that it wasn't just in one place. There were the awesome moments in the sanctuary and in the classroom and outside these walls. That's where church is to happen. It's supposed to happen here, but also out there, and to carry that joy and that enthusiasm. I saw Christmas pajamas, and I'm excited because Christmas Day is on Sunday today, this year, people. But that's what church is being present for. That doesn't happen in your living room. Am I excited that we can do stuff on Facebook and share? Absolutely. For those who can't get out for whatever reason. But those pictures, those come from coming together in the presence of God. Sharing that fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and kindness. That's holy ground. Let us continue to move forward with a church like that, that wants to include and invite, brainstorm ideas of how we can be in ministry within these walls to bring some people into church who left, who haven't ever been invited in. And also ways that we can get out there and share the love. Because that's what God does for us. Amen. That God's going to go meet us where we are, but also invite us to the table. We're about to have communion with each other. Be present for that holy moment. Remembering that Jesus, in his last moments of freedom, he gathered his friends to break bread, to share in what was to come. And everyone was invited at the table. Everyone. Including the one he knew who was about to betray him. He said, "Still, join me for supper." I know that we have some grievances with some people, some who have broken our hearts. I ask that you give Jesus that. Maybe here at communion's that moment to do it. And in the United Methodist Church, we have an open table. There is no condition for you to come forward. There's no age requirement. There's no membership requirement. There's no any pressure. It's to truly come feast with the Lord.